Ray Nagin has narrowly won a second term as mayor in the U.S. city of New Orleans. He gained 52% of the vote in the runoff election, beating Louisiana Democrat Mitch Landrieu. The outspoken Nagin became the face of New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina ravaged the city last year. He criticized federal authorities for not responding fast enough to the disaster, and in turn was criticized for not evacuating the city in good time. In his victory speech, Nagin said the city was now positioned for growth.
We are ready to take off. We have citizens around the country who want to come back to the city of New Orleans, and we're going to get them all back to the city of New Orleans.
Hopeful words, but in reality, New Orleans is far from Nagin's vision. Despite the hurricane season being less than 2 weeks away, the state of the levees is uncertain. Many neighborhoods are uninhabitable, and more than half the pre-storm population of 470,000 remains scattered across the country. Michelle Khalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
The bomber was driving a taxi packed with explosives in an area of the Afghan capital which houses coalition bases. The vehicle hit a passing truck and exploded, killing and wounding several Afghans. It's believed the bomber's target was a U.S. military convoy that was in the vicinity at the time. The latest attack comes as thousands of NATO peacekeepers are arriving in the country. In recent days, Afghanistan has seen some of the worst violence since the overthrow of the Taliban in 2001. Afghanistan's Foreign Minister Rangin Dadfarsbanta accused Pakistan of sheltering al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters. Despite Pakistan's repeated denials that the Taliban are getting help on its side of the border, Afghan and NATO forces are in no doubt that insurgents are bringing in supplies and recruits. Until now, Afghanistan has been overshadowed by Iraq. No longer. Afghanistan, the original frontline in the war on terror, is hotting up once again. Helen Long, Reuters.
US President George Bush is hailing Iraq's new government as a new dawn for its people.
The formation of a unity government in Iraq is a new day for the millions of Iraqis who want to live in freedom.
But even that new day was overshadowed by violence and bloodshed. A wave of bombings killed at least 19 people as the new government held its first meeting. Most of the casualties died in a suicide attack on a crowded restaurant popular with police. Iraq's new minister, Nouri al-Maliki, has vowed to use maximum force to combat terrorism. The latest bloodshed was a grim reminder of the scale of the task he faces in stemming the violence and holding the nation back from the brink of civil war. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Gunshots ring out on the streets of Srinagar, the main city of Indian-controlled Kashmir. The battle left 8 people dead, including 2 Islamist militants, and more than 20 wounded. Gunfight erupted at a Congress party rally in honour of the murdered Indian PM Rajiv Gandhi. Hundreds of demonstrators fled in panic and confusion after militants dressed as policemen opened fire.
I don't know what time it happened. We were sitting around. When the firing started, we thought there were policemen. They attacked us. 4 people were killed right before my eyes.
Intermittent firing continued as security forces cordoned off an area where several local politicians were present. Along with the militants, 2 policemen and 4 civilians were killed. In New Delhi, the government said the attack would not derail efforts to bring peace to the region. Islamist militants have threatened to disrupt a Kashmir peace conference taking place shortly that will be chaired by Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh. Darcy Lambton, Reuters.
crowd gathers at the site of China's latest mine accident. A flood has trapped 44 miners at the Shanxi Colliery in the country's north. Over 100 others managed to escape. Police have arrested 9 of the mine's managers, although the head of the operation has gone into hiding. China has one of the worst mine safety records in the world. More than 3,000 coal mine blasts, floods and other accidents claimed nearly 6,000 lives last year. Critics say mine owners, motivated by soaring profits, are pushing production levels past safe limits. Michelle Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters. Over 300 Vietnamese fishermen have been rescued in China's biggest international marine rescue operation. The seamen went missing after a typhoon swept through the South China Sea. They were found on a fleet of ships near Pratas Islands. Typhoon Chanchu has left a trail of destruction across China, Vietnam and the Philippines. Over 90 bodies have been recovered from the sea, many of which are known to be those of Vietnamese fishermen. On the country's Da Nang coast, relatives of missing seamen erected altars and prayed for their loved ones to return. Natural disasters, especially storms and floods, claim hundreds of lives in the region each year, especially during the May to October storm season. Michelle Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
Celebrations are already underway in Montenegro after a referendum that's predicted to give the green light to split from neighbouring Serbia. An official projection suggests a yes vote. Poll analysts put the turnout at a massive 88%, a majority of just over half the electorates needed for the independence vote to pass. The mountainous republic of just 650,000 population is the last vestige of the former Yugoslavia. Its union with Serbia was created 3 years ago, but the two have been together in some form of a joint state for nearly a century. Pro-independence supporters believe Montenegro's chances of economic prosperity would improve if it split from its bigger neighbour. Pro-unionists cherish the historic and cultural links. In reality, a divorce would have little practical effect. The republics already have different laws, policies and currencies, and their joint parliament rarely meets. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
UN envoy spent about an hour with Myanmar's pro-democracy leader, speaking at Bangkok Airport at the end of a 3-day visit to the former Burma. Ibrahim Gambari said the Nobel Peace Laureate was well, but that her spirit was sad.
She feels she has a contribution to make, and I hope she will be allowed to make it.
The Nigerian envoy also delivered a message from the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan to Myanmar's military leader, General Than Shwe. It's the first time in 2 years that Myanmar's military rulers have allowed a visit by the UN. Out of sight, but not out of mind, Aung San Suu Kyi has spent most of the last 16 years in detention, including the last 3 under house arrest. Known simply as the Lady, Aung San Suu Kyi is the world's most celebrated political prisoner. Calls for her release by Western leaders have fallen on deaf ears. Now at last there may be a flicker of hope that the generals may be ready to listen. A Yangon-based diplomat told Reuters that Than Shwe had agreed to try to find common ground with the opposition on political issues. The diplomat also said that Than Shwe had told the UN envoy that Yangon would explore ways to improve aid and humanitarian missions to the isolated country. It's not the restoration of democracy that Aung San Suu Kyi and her supporters have campaigned for, but it could mark the first tiny step in that direction. Helen Thong, Reuters.
Picard trophy ceremony at the Cannes Film Festival in France appeared to be going smoothly as Sir Elton John stepped up to present an award. Both he and British actress Liz Hurley were the hosts of honour at the luxury jeweller's bash. As he began a speech honouring young Canadian actor Kevin Zegers, he suddenly lashed out at a group of photographers.
Transamerica, I'm talking fat weight. You should all be shot. Thank you. Kevin, take this and get it out of my hands.
Sir Elton is renowned for his fiery temper and has repeatedly lashed out at members of the media in the past. Although he left the ceremony early, numerous other stars showed up to celebrate the success, prize winner Zegers and Italian actress Jasmine Trinca. Michelle Kalal-Al-Houdi, Reuters.
It's mission accomplished for this expedition team, freshly returned to Kathmandu from Mount Everest. But this was no ordinary ascent up the world's highest mountain. That's because of Mark Inglis, who has just become the first ever double amputee to reach the summit. The New Zealander lost both his legs to frostbite back in 1982, but the avid mountaineer wasn't going to let two carbon fibre prosthetic limbs get between him and the famous peak. The grueling experience proved tough, though, not just for Inglis, but for his whole support team.
How was it?
New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark offered her own congratulations, calling the feat remarkable for English, New Zealand and world mountaineering. Darcy Lambton, Reuters.